Welcome to the Business of Sales. You're here because you want to improve your results in your business, right? Well, that's exactly you with this podcast. We give you practical ideas to help you, and we have guests on the show who are going to share their expertise, and that's going to help you get what you want. Hey, here's a clip from today's show.
I think dry passion, focus are just fancy business type words for faith, hope, and love. I think drive is basically an issue of faith. And the whole idea of focus gives a person hope for the future, that you really focus in on being a river versus a swamp. And the whole idea of love is really the motivation behind how you deal with people. Do you care about people?
Our guest today on the Business of Sales is Dr. Randy Marshall. Randy and I have been friends for a number of years. I won't tell you just how many because it's a lot. But Randy and I have been together for a long time. And, you know, Randy, we've talked a lot about drive, passion, and focus over the years. And I know that you do some things outside of the world of business where I think those concepts still apply, don't they? Tell us a little more about what you do, Randy.
Well, Morris, thank you for having me. You know, I think drive, passion, focus are just fancy business-type words for faith, hope, and love. I think drive is basically an issue of faith, that you work in spite of feelings. Feelings are real. They're just not reliable. And the whole idea of focus gives a person hope for the future, that you really focus in on being a river versus a swamp. And the whole idea of love is really the motivation behind how you deal with people. Do you care about people? And so the whole idea of passion, I think, comes out of the heart. We've talked about the fact that in business, as well as any kind of ministry you have, it's always out of the heart. The word cor comes from the Latin term, which means heart, and that means that you have courage. And I will tell you that in ministry, if that's what you're called to do, or in business, if that's your calling, you've still got to have a lot of courage. So faith, hope, and love, I think, are easily translated into drive, passion, and focus.
I think you're absolutely right. And as you say, it really doesn't depend on what you're working on. It depends on putting those concepts into play. Randy, I know that you're involved in some nonprofit organizations. Can you tell us a little bit about Church Planters?
Well, we've had an opportunity since 2008 to really multiply the whole idea of believers, because I come from a spiritual bent that's basically Christian in nature. And so we gather people together around the world, call the church. The Greek word for that would be the called out ones, the ekklesia, that really penetrates the darkness in this world and presents hope, presents the faith, presents the love that we believe is critical for people to have and to be able to know that other people care for them. But it's very similar in business, Morris. Far too long, I think there's been what's called a clergy-laity gap, where you live one kind of life in the church, then one kind of life in business. And I don't see that happening. I think they're integrated. And to be honest with you, I think we should be salt and light in business or in a full-time vocational ministry. Iron sharpens iron, so another person sharpens another person. Love is really the name of the game. And if anybody talked about love, demonstrated love, it was the person that I represent, and that is Jesus. And I think to take him to the workplace, I literally call it faith at work. I don't see any kind of difference between the two. You asked specifically about our ministry. We started in 2008, and we have literally seen almost 40,000 churches planted around the world. We've seen 1,700,000 people that have been shared the gospel, if you will, and over 813,000 people have given their lives to Christ. And this has been in 23 countries. We've narrowed that focus now to 11 countries. But we have over 4,000 men and women in training, and in order to graduate from our training, which takes about 10 months, they have to plant a church. And you say, well, why? Do we need more churches? I don't know that we need a lot more churches in America, but around the world where there are a lot of unchurched areas, 1% Christian, if you will, I think there needs to be a sense of witness to what's going on there.
Planting a church, that sounds kind of outside of my normal vocabulary. What do you mean by plant a church?
Be very similar to a person coming into business, being an entrepreneur. starting their own business, being able to take it from scratch, if you will. Planting a church simply means to start one. Normally, it comes out of a mother church, and you establish a daughter church. But Morris, we've seen addition in foreign countries that really haven't worked. What we're involved in is multiplication. It's just like business. You're attempting to leverage or multiply your business. A book of business, referred leads, all kinds of things like that are simply a relay of truth. Well, we're doing the same exact thing in planting churches. We plant a church. That church has a vision to plant others, and then they plant others. We've tracked this to the 18th generation, if you can believe that. And after 18, we can't track it anymore. And the beauty of what this is doing, because I think Jesus said, you know, go and make disciples. He really meant leadership, planting churches, multiplying churches. And after a while, you can't even track it. All we know is that it's ongoing, and we're not going to find out the true results till we get to heaven.
That's amazing. Those numbers are just absolutely incredible. It's just, wow.
They stagger us too.
I mean, you talk about business results. Those are some mighty impressive business results, Randy.
They're impressive. We can hardly get over them either. To be candid about it, Christianity did not start in the United States. If you read the scriptures, it started in Turkey and in Europe and Macedonia and all of those places there, and then multiplied like crazy out. It's always been a multiplication process. I think that's exactly what we do in business. You attempt to multiply what you do best and simply take a focus of doing the one thing, keeping the main thing, and replicate that. And that's what we're doing. We believe if the church is established by God, and that is his primary instrument of change, we simply need to get on board and focus on doing that. Be like Cain's chicken. One thing we do is we make chicken. Well, one thing we do is we plant churches.
Well, in your training for these new leaders that are out there, Randy, you're teaching them how to do that. It sounds like they're doing a lot of the same kind of things that we're doing. Is there anything you're teaching them that we might benefit from?
Well, we start with the basics. We start with, this is a football, as Lombardi used to say, and say, what is the church? I mean, really, there's many definitions of that. And we have to be very careful, to be honest. Similar to having many flavors of, let's say, life insurance companies that are all a bit different. They all have a particular kind of culture. We have to be very careful when we go overseas that we deal with interdenominational. There are certain roles of the woman in the United States that we have to be sensitive to overseas, and particularly in Africa, where half of our people that are being trained are women, and they're basically leading the charge. So we start with the basics. What is the church? We move to leadership development. Well, that's what you have to do in a business. Who are your leaders? And who are the people that follow? Who's the staff? And who are the team members, the players? What are the gifts? What are the strengths? So we deal with staff members, and then we multiply that out. So in the end, what we want to do is we want to have a product, if you will, that is reproducible. That is basically what we do. And I think that's what we attempt to do in business. What is the one thing, as Curly said to Billy Crystal? And he said, I don't know what the one thing is. What is the one thing? And he said, I don't know either. You have to figure it out for yourself. For us, it's to plant churches, to go and to reproduce. In my business, in terms of speaking, you know, Morris, I used to have 10 messages. 9 of them weren't worth the paper they were written on. And so I've narrowed that focus down, and you know as well as I do, and we actually work together on this, is a workshop on goals versus desires, because it's the one message that I think resonates and actually changes lives and works and is fun to give. And so we're having a good time planting churches, but I also know in business that one message has done very well by me.
It does. It does very, very well to have that one thing that I'm going to focus on, that one strategy in my business that is where I'm going to put my time and attention. That's where I'm going to put my energy. That's where I'm going to put my focus. And it helps me to be able to say no to the things I need to say no to and yes to the things I need to say yes to, and try and eliminate distractions and be able to actually work on the stuff that's going to make a difference. And I would guess if I was out there trying to plant a church, I'd need to do those same kinds of things, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that we deal with all the time is that we have people that say, why don't you feed the hungry? Why don't you take care of building a hospital, for example? Needed, no doubt about it. And yet that's not our calling, and that's not what we do. And frankly, it would anchor us down if we tried to do all of those things. That's not saying it shouldn't be done. What I'm suggesting is that in business or in what we do, if you try to have 15 priorities, it simply won't work. You've got to narrow the focus, and become, well, move from a job to a profession to a calling, because this is what I do. The one thing I do, the Apostle Paul said, not these 40 things I dabble in. And I think what we tend to do is we become a jack of all trades and the master of none.
Hey, today I've got a secret to share with you, okay? We're not telling anybody except the great people who listen to the Business of Sales. So you ready? Here we go. We are building a communication system to share brief, one page or less, emails with ideas, concepts, knowledge, and skills that you can use to improve your financial services business. Help it to grow, help you just to improve your results. All those kind of things are what we're going to be sharing. Okay, now somebody out there just said, okay, Morris, like what? What are we really talking about? Well, when you register, you're going to get a free audio program on marketing. 22 minutes that you can listen to on your commute or while you work out, or obviously any convenient time for you. So to get your marketing audio program and register for more, go to getcourse.cc/marketing. That's getcourse, getcourse.cc/marketing. Won't you please join us? I think you're going to find a lot of what we share to be useful in your business. You're getting an advanced heads up here, folks. I mean, this is before anybody else in the world. We're not going to share this until, golly, probably sometime later in July. So please take advantage of your advance notice. Your first email is going to come sometime later in the week of July. And if you decide, of course, at any time that you'd like to not hear from us, all you got to do is click unsubscribe, and we're going to get out of your inbox right away. So, hey, thanks for listening to the Business of Sales. Now, let's get back to this week's episode. And I think that's very, very true for us in our industry and the financial services world. It's so easy. There's so many different things we can get involved with. I mean, there are a zillion different strategies that you might choose if you were out there being a brand new financial services professional. And frankly, I think we do a disservice for the new FSPs out there, because we want to teach them everything. We want to share them everything with them. And you've got this wholesaler coming in with this idea, and that wholesaler coming in with another idea. And no, let's find.
Your brain gets cluttered after a while, and then you get paralyzed, and then you'll try this one, and it's the soup du jour at the moment, and then the other one doesn't work, and then you get so frustrated. I honestly believe that in counseling, for example, it's a perfect example. There are many systems of counseling, many systems. You've got direct and indirect and nothetic and Rogerian, all kinds of these counseling systems. The latest studies have indicated that the one that works for any counselee is the one the counselee thinks works for the counselor. So if the counselor seems to have his or her life together, the counselee will say, you know what? I have hope. The problem with doing too many things in too short a time, like memorizing the phone directory, is that you are paralyzed and then you just give up. But you dig deeply on one thing. And if there's a focus, it's got to be on, this is what I do best. I move from incompetence to competence to expert to genius. And I want to die a genius to do the one thing very well. When all these voices out there say, it's my thing, it's my thing, it's my thing. I tell you, the best doctors I go to are the ones that have filtered it all out and say, this is what I do.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the same thing's true for us. If you look at the very, very successful financial services professionals out there, they have tended to create or find their niche in the world where they're going to specialize with business owners or philanthropy. We know an agent in East Dallas or in East Texas that his whole world is wrapped around philanthropy and helping people figure out how to best leave money to charities all over the world. It's just an amazing thing and how much better things get when you do niche down and focus your audience and focus on what you do.
Nothing wrong with being a generalist, and we need generalists like we need family practitioners and specialists. It's a temperamental thing. It's how your personality, how you're wired and all of that. But I will tell you, toward the end, I think that you can only do two or three things really, really well. And if you try to do too many things, you begin to erode with lack of confidence. It's the best way I'd say it, because it gives me a sense of moving from thinking well to planning well to executing well. If I can think, how do I make this one thing better? And then how do I plan to really execute this over the next 3 months? It moves me in a path that's rather than a six-lane highway.
That's a great analogy. I would agree completely. You know, it's back to the fact that multitasking is a myth. It just isn't there. We don't do that. That's not how the human brain was designed by the creator, and it's not how we work. So if that's the case, then I can only focus on one thing at a time, and I need to have that one thing that I can focus on and become an expert or at least a semi-expert in before I move on to the next thing. And then I can have a couple of three things, but the fact is I can only focus on one at a time. Okay, maybe two, because I can focus on them one at a time, and I've got time to do that, but I got to have time to learn it and to get down deep into it. And if I'm trying to do 10, I'm not going to have time.
I have a business, as you know, called Speakers College. And what I do is I train speakers in order to be clear, accurate, and relevant. And the biggest problem with people in speaking is they have too many messages in too short of time. And I think they think, well, if one is good, more is better. And so they tend to take, rather than an eyedropper approach, the milk tub approach. They just throw it out there, and hopefully some of it sticks. The problem is it doesn't stick at all. And we've got to remember that words are like babies. They come one at a time. Messages are like airplanes. Land them one at a time. And you've got to have one idea, one theme, repeated often, supported by various points, various scripture passages, if you're a preacher, but it's always coming back to the one thing you want people to remember. Let's take a preacher. If you have one great idea 52 weeks a year and you're preaching one time every Sunday, you're going to change a life. People don't remember very much. And so what we do is we become creative in the one thing we do really, really well. And that's the focus idea. Businesses today, I think that when have a priority, New York Life. This is the one thing we do. Now, we have spinoffs, but the way I view New York Life and companies that are eminently successful, it's like a wheel. They have a hub, and they have spokes that go out. They always come back to the hub, and without the hub of the wheel, that wheel is not going to turn very often.
It always comes back down to focus. I mean, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, I love to tell this story. My listeners have heard me tell it probably too many times. But the fact is the two of them were asked what's the most important thing in business. They both wrote it down, and they both said exactly the same thing independently. The most important thing in business today is focus. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
It is. Unfortunately, we live in a world that, a guy told me the other day, he said, I hire people, and when I hire people, I look for three things. Are they big thinkers? Do they have fun? And do they get things done? He said, actually, to be honest with you, forget the first two. He said, everybody's a big thinker. Just ask them. They got big ideas. They're dreamers. He said, and as far as fun is concerned, man, in this world, you got a lot of distractions to have fun. A lot of things you can do to have fun. A lot of things you do to waste your time. But he said, the third one, get things done. That's the issue. That's where the rubber meets the road. The nitty-gritty is there. I think you get things done by saying, I'm going to dig deeply this one message, and God will broaden my impact. That's the way I look at it.
I think it's a great way to look at it, for sure. Randy, in the years that you've been doing the Training Center for Church Planters, what have you learned that you've been able to apply to business? I mean, you've been around the world doing this all over the place. You've, I'm sure, picked up some ideas and some things that have changed the way you look at business and the way you look at life. What comes to mind?
Well, first, what comes to mind is you've got to assume nothing, and you've got to equip and train. People are like a sponge, I really think. And if they see hope in the training they received, that I can do this, they will have the faith to pull it off. You cannot have faith without first having hope. You cannot. And so the key question is, when you parade all these people that are great church planters and have mega churches, and they are the big timers, you know, and the person is sitting out there and they're telling them, yes, you can do this, you can do this. And then they begin to grocery list all the various ministries they have. The person out there is thinking one thought. I think it's great that you can do it, but can I do that? And if they say, no, I cannot see myself doing that, it doesn't matter how much you parade money in front of them or prestige or reputation or impact. It doesn't matter. They've got to be able to see themselves doing it. So to be mutually understood is the issue. If training is not understood by the receiver, they won't believe it. And if they don't believe it, they won't execute it. They won't get involved. So the key is great training. Now, Morris, your whole life has been training, and you know that better than anybody else. And so, therefore, you've got to bring it down to the nubbies. I have a professor that said it this way, and this I've learned in this business and learned this in church planting or my ministry right now. Always put your cookies on the lower shelf. That way the lambs can come to feed, and the giraffes can always bend their necks. And what he meant by that was the sophisticated ones, the real genius that pick it up quickly, if they're teachable at all, they'll bend their necks to get the cookies on the lower shelf and apply it to their own ministry or life. But most of us are lambs. As Abraham Lincoln one time said, God must have loved average people. There's enough of them. And it's true. There's enough of us.
Plenty.
Yeah, plenty. And I think you've just got to make it very clear and very simple. Simplicity wins. Across the board in business, across the board in ministry, simplicity wins. You know the elevator talk? You better be able to share what you do, the need you fulfill very, very quickly, and why they should do it. The benefit for them. You've got to be able to do that very, very quickly. And most people, you know, it's like what the old statement, you know, you want me to speak for 15 minutes on that topic? You better give me several hours to prepare. You want me to speak for 2 hours on that topic? I'm ready to go. We say too much, and it's the same. And then just people just bat out. I remember growing up, and I'm talking too much here, but I remember growing up, and my phone number in Lenexa, Kansas was 5450. Now they'll date me on how old I am. That's right. Then I said 5450, piece of cake. Then it went from that to 888-5450. Actually, it was Tuxedo 8-5450. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm in big trouble. I'm going to bat out here. Too many numbers. I can't. And then, oh my goodness, they added, that's right, the area code, 913-888-5450. I thought I was going to die. And that's what happens in training, in business, in keeping it simple and short and sweet. We add too much to it, and all of a sudden people just bat out. It's called the law of retroactive inhibition. How about that fancy stuff? See, I went to school for some reason.
Whoa!
And that means, basically, too much stuff in too little time, you forget not just the first 5450, you forget all of it. And that's what happens.
Cognitive dissonance sits in, and you just kind of lose it. The brain gets disconnected. It all comes back down to being simple, I think. It's like the old idea, you know, I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you how the watch worked, Randy. I just wanted to know, what time it is. Yeah. And that's something that I think I see happen in brand new financial services professionals all over the place. I just learned all this wonderful stuff, and I think that I've got to share it with my prospect.
Right.
Well, no, the prospect only needs to know what they need to know to be able to make a decision. Now, yeah. I'm not suggesting that we withhold information that's vital or important or full and complete disclosure. What I'm saying is they don't need to know how the watch works to be able to know what time it is.
Exactly. And if I could narrow it down to what you ask, how do you compare ministry, quote unquote, to business? I don't separate them out. I think the same truth is that all truth intersects and it's all integrated. But let me see if I can make it simple, both in business and ministry. It's what I ask myself when I run my business, turn a hat differently, and run a ministry. I ask four questions every single time. I ask them all the time. Number one, where do I want to go in 3 years? Number two, what do I have to invest to help me get there? Number three, who's going to help me get there? And number four, what am I going to do over the next 90 days? Those four questions I ask all the time. You know why? Keeps me simple, on the path, clear, and keeps me keeping the main thing, the main thing.
Absolutely. Determining what you want, why you want it, and having a strategy to get there. Yep. I'm with you on that 100% on that rock, my friend.
I know you talk about it a lot. And you know what's amazing? There's a lot of people that say they have one until asked, and they really don't. Oh, I know what I'm going to. They don't. They don't. Ask them, and they'll mumble and jumble all over. And I did until I came back to those four questions I ask all the time. Where do I want to go? What am I willing to invest? Who's going to help me get there? What am I going to do over the next quarter or 90 days?
Randy, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me again.
Oh,
it's an honor. It's a privilege.
Have you on every week if we could work it out, brother. This is always fun. I love having these conversations with you, and I know our listeners do as well. Just look at the number of downloads. You're number two on the list of people who download the Business of Sales.
Who's that number one? I'm kidding.
Some guy named Hegna. Oh, I don't know. Tom? Yeah, Tom still holds the number one spot. Anyway.
So teasing.
Thanks for being here, my friend. Now, question, if somebody out there is intrigued by the whole idea of church planters and the Center for Church Planters, how can they get involved and help the ministry?
I would say that an overview of that to see how we do what we do, why we go where we go, is on our website. And if people are interested, they could go to www.TCCP, that's Training Center for Church Planters, abbreviated TCCP.pro. And you'll see where we operate and why we do it and what our results are.
And that's TCCP.pro, P-R-O,
yes.
Not com, but P-R-O. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Right.
Randy, thank you so much again for being with us here this week. We really love having you here, man. And for everybody out there, you guys go out there and make it a great week. Do some wonderful things. Keep it simple and make things happen in your own world for your life and your family. Until next time, I'm Morris Sims.